Good morning, everybody. Bore da. We've had a bit of Scottish and a bit of Welsh. And I thought I'd give you the sermon in double Dutch. No, it's a joke. Having two children, we've been to two sports days per year for the last few years. And I don't know if you've ever been to a sports day. I'm sure those with children have. Everybody's there, willing their children on. Then with us, they have the sports day in the training van at Parker Scarlett's. So it's all indoors, and it was this year it was howling a gale, it was pouring down with rain, as you do in July. And you've all the parents lined up either side, shouting and screaming, go, go Greens, go Reds, you know, go little Johnny, go George, go Clara. And all the parents are there to encourage their children and encourage their teams. Encouragement is an important topic in the Bible, and it is a spiritual gift that we don't really hear much about. During the announcements and, well, even during that last song, it's encouraging, isn't it, to actually hear, oh, so-and-so is getting better. There's an improvement. There's a step in the right direction. Yeah? That provides us encouragement. And it's an important topic that I want to talk about today. There were three main points, and like Russian dolls, they all sort of fit into one another because there's a common source amongst them. But there's also sort of some sub-points later on. So the first point is that, the first source of encouragement is that God encourages people directly. In the contemporary English version, David says, I am overcome with sorrow. This is Psalm 119, verse 28. I am overcome with sorrow. Encourage me as you have promised to do. Well, this is a prayer of David. And if you read the psalm, he's thoroughly miserable. He's seeking understanding of the laws that he loved. And suddenly he asks God for encouragement, or strength, as it says in some of the translations. Notice the phrase, as promised, or as it is written. David was expecting encouragement. As promised, as it is written. Give me strength, give me encouragement. And you suspect that the relationship between God and David was such that he had regular encouragement. He was expecting that strength encouragement from God. And at a low point, he was saying, please, give me strength. I need help here. I'm struggling. Let's have a look at 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 16 to 17. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 16 to 17. The NIV says, may the Lord Jesus Christ himself and God the Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. Notice encouragement, hope, strength, clustered together. This builds up a picture of what encouragement is. And make a note of these in your mind as we picture and build up a picture of what encouragement is. But notice the purpose of the encouragement, so that our hearts will be strengthened for every good work and deed. And we'll see that in the other scriptures as we go through. So the first point is that God encourages us directly. Running to the second point, is the main point really today. God encourages us by inspiring people to encourage one another. In the Old Testament, he rested upon people. From Pentecost, he's dwelt within our hearts. As I looked last time I was here, you know, his spirit, his love, dwells in our innermost being, in our hearts. And what's he do? He inspires us to encourage one another. I'd like to focus on the early church, but for balance, I've got a couple of examples here from the Old Testament, which I'll just read out. You can look at these later. 1 Samuel 23, verse 16. It says, Jonathan went to see David, and God helped him encourage David. Deuteronomy 1, 38 and 3, 28 shows the people were told to encourage Joshua, for he was the one who was to lead them into the land of promise. In Isaiah 40, verse 1, God says, encourage my people, give them comfort. Encouragement is comfort in various other translations. So in terms of my quotes, they're a bit of a mix and match in terms of translations, but hope you'll get the point. So you can add comfort to the definition of what encouragement is. Who's the comforter? Holy Spirit. God's presence, God's connection with us. And that's part of the triune God himself. One of the benefits of meeting together is that we have the opportunity to fellowship and encourage one another. Encouragement is a spiritual gift, and gifts are either given or received. We either give or receive encouragement, but without contact with others, we can do neither. And that's one of the reasons we're told to meet with each other instead of being alone. And that's from Hebrews 10, verses 24 to 25, which we'll have a look at. But nowadays, I would add, meeting together can be supplemented, I wouldn't say replaced with, but supplemented with emails, phone calls, text messages, social media. There's other ways to add to meeting together to be able to give one another encouragement. Hebrews 10, verses 24 to 25. We should keep on encouraging each other to be thoughtful and do helpful things. Some people have got out of the habit of meeting for worship. Again, this is the contemporary English. Some people have gotten out of the habit of meeting for worship, but we must not do that. We should keep on encouraging each other, especially since you know that the day of the Lord's coming is getting closer. What do we just sing? Encouragement. Christ is coming back. Don't be discouraged. We have a source of encouragement, and we can encourage each other knowing that is coming closer. Let's turn to Romans 1, verses 11 to 12. Romans 1, verse 11. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. Mutually encouraged. Encouragement is something that's given and received. I don't know about you, but very often when you speak to people who have got health problems with cancer and so forth, terrible problems, they end up encouraging you as well as you trying to comfort and encourage them. I remember Donny Payton going to see Ruth, for example. Judy even, you know. This guy that we see on the street. He always gives us encouragement, despite the fact that they are going through problems themselves. Mutually encouraged by each other's faith. And it's such an encouragement, it's such an inspiration when people have got faith despite the problems and difficulties. Let's move forward to Romans 12, verses 6 to 8. Well, Romans 5, verse 6, God has given each of us different gifts to use. And then it goes through spiritual gifts. If you skip down to verse 8. If it is encouraging, if it's encouraging, let him encourage. Encouragement is part of the spiritual gifts, it's part of the tools, the armoury that we have, that God has given us to help one another. And the gifts of God, the gifts of the Spirit, that's God's character coming out. That's God's inner being, is his love, his mercy, his grace being shown to one another. So let's not downplay encouragement, it is a gift. If we encourage others, we should encourage them. This is underlined by 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 10 to 11. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 10 to 11. Christ died for us so that we could live with him, whether we are alive or dead when he comes. That's why you must encourage and help each other, just as you are already doing. So that's our job, isn't it? To help, you know, we're already doing. It's our job to encourage and help one another. Drop down to verse 14. Halfway through verse 14. Encourage anyone who feels left out. Help all who are weak and be patient with everyone. Don't be hateful to people just because they are hateful to you. Rather, be good to each other and to everyone else. Always be joyful and never stop praying. Whatever happens, keep thanking God because of Jesus Christ. This is what God wants you to do. And that video clip, isn't it? There's all sort of, whatever happens, praise him. Isn't it? I thought that was brilliant, the way that set up the thinking towards this. Keep thanking God because of Jesus Christ. This is what God wants us to do. The point is that we are told to encourage one another. If you like, it's a command under love your neighbour. Encouragement is a spiritual gift. It's a way that God can encourage or comfort or strengthen or build up people through us. God wants to encourage people. God wants us to encourage people. And words can make a huge difference to others. The book of Proverbs gives us much wisdom in terms of words. We're thinking about words of encouragement today. I'll just read through, rather than Richard going through, sort of trying to catch up. Okay, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Proverbs 18, verse 21. Good words can make an anxious heart glad. Proverbs 12, verse 25. A soothing tongue is a tree of life. Proverbs 15, verse 4. Pleasant words are sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Proverbs 16, verse 24. Like apples of gold in settings of silver is a word spoken in the right circumstances. Proverbs 25, verse 11. Isn't it great when sometimes somebody just gives you that little nugget of encouragement when you need it? God hasn't changed, has he? Where was I? The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. Proverbs 10, verse 11. The fountain of life. The tongue of the righteous is as choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is worth little. Proverbs 10, verse 20. There is one who speaks rashly like the thrusts of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. That's Proverbs 12, verse 18. That gives you a little flavour from Proverbs, that how important words are to one another. What we say and how we say it is clearly therefore very important. Now let's look at three encouragement principles here and techniques as to how we can encourage others when we talk to them. This is also within the second point. A. Firstly, be quick to listen and slow to speak. We need to listen to the other person to be able to understand what the person is going through, to have any hope of encouraging them. Proverbs 18:13 says it's stupid and embarrassing to give an answer before you listen. Or the King James says, he that answers a matter before he hears it is a folly and shame unto him. And it's so easy, and I'm probably the worst one, to actually say something before actually fully understanding what the person is trying to tell you. To provide encouragement, we need to listen before we speak. And if you hear cases where somebody has poured their heart out and they've just talked, and somebody hasn't actually said a word, and then been thanked. Oh, thanks for listening. That's what I needed, is just to be able to know that there was somebody there to listen to me. And we found people sort of crying when we've been out on the streets, telling us their stories and crying, and we haven't said anything. And it's that's giving them some encouragement that somebody cares enough to listen. And that is encouragement in itself. So when people talk to you, listen to them. Don't just launch into telling them what to do. That doesn't help. Very often people don't actually want an answer. They probably know what the answer is anyway. They just want to tell you about it. And that gives them encouragement that somebody cares and somebody loves them enough to listen. Okay, point B. Be sensitive to the other person. Think about it. What does the situation demand of you to help this person to grow in Christ's likeness? It may be a friendly hug or reassurance or a shoulder to cry on. And I remember as a child, in the Armstrong Hall down in Bristol Way, on one of the feast days, everybody's there lining up with their plates, and I dropped mine. There's food everywhere. And the first person on the scene didn't tell me off. All I had is sort of, hug around the shoulder. It was May Smart. You know, those who know the Smarts will... She probably didn't even remember this. But all I still remember to this day, I must have been about Clara's size, dropping my plate. All I say, okay, come on, back to the thing at the end of the queue. She put I don't know what happened to her plate. Must have been put down somewhere. And put the food on the plate and took it back to the table. Instead of telling off, it was just that sort of, okay, you're okay, you're okay. Bit of encouragement. And that I still remember that. That was goodness of many years ago. As I say, Marsh, give me a kutch. And walked and sorted it out. She comforted and encouraged me when I felt bad about making a mess with my food. And you know what the church was like back then? If you dared to make a mistake, you know, it was a big sort of, oh no, you made a mess, or you've been noisy, or whatever. People would be sort of criticising, or at least looking down and thinking, oh. As a child, I just needed that bit of encouragement. That was okay. Telling me off would have made it worse than I did felt already. You need to be, you need to be aware of that person and how you can give them encouragement and be sensitive and show them love. Okay, C, be gentle in what you say. Conversations, especially amongst men, can be full of bravado, exchanging stories about car crashes or other daft things you've done, more alcohol you've drunk, or how hot your curry is, and you know, things can that sort of mentality can spill into general conversation, and we need to be gentle in what we say. If somebody needs encouragement, they don't need to know what you've done that day or your own experience necessarily. You've got to be gentle and don't dismiss what they're saying by saying, oh, it's okay. You know, I've scratched my car. Oh, it's okay. I crashed mine. You know, that doesn't help, does it? And sometimes the original topic can get completely lost, and instead of giving that person encouragement and showing love, it can be lost in the conversation. So we need to be gentle and considerate. Kind words show involvement and concern. Gentle words are not necessarily softly spoken, but always said out of love and grace. They can be, just like a shepherd sometimes has to, you know, correct the sheep and hit them, point them in the right direction. So you might give them a bit of a whack with the shepherd's crook. You know, showing love doesn't necessarily always mean that you can't be firm with somebody. But out of love, if somebody's making a mistake and you can see they're making a mistake, you know, you can encourage them back on the right track. Like I said, with the shepherd's crook, sometimes, you know, somebody needs a bit of a nudge to actually point them, keep them on the track before they fall off a cliff. But always be gentle. So there's a couple of points there, just sort of some ways that when we talk to one another and talk to people out there, that we can actually give encouragement without falling down some of the pitfalls. Okay, finally, it's the three main points. The scriptures are written to encourage others They were written to encourage others at the time, and we have them so they can also encourage us. Of course, as evangelical Christians, we believe the scriptures are the inspired word of God. So again, who is giving us the encouragement through the scriptures? God is. So like I said at the start, it's like a Russian doll. It's like God can inspire us directly through others and also through his word. And we see in particular that the letters of the from the apostles to the churches were very often written for encouragement. I'll read just two examples, and then we'll look at the third example in more detail. Hebrews 13, verse 22. Hebrews 13, verse 22 says, "My friends, I have written only a short letter to encourage you and to beg you to pay close attention to what I have said." So the purpose was for encouragement. 1 Peter 5, verse 12. I messed up my... First Peter 5, verse 12. "With the help of Silas, whom I regard as a faithful brother, I have written to you briefly, encouraging you and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand fast in it." My notes have gone funny. Okay, let's have a look at Romans 15, verse 4. Romans 15, verse 4, and we'll look at this passage in a bit more detail. This says that they were written for our teaching and encouragement. So let's have a look at this. Okay. Romans 15, verse 4. "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope." And again, that's another word which came out through the worship. We're building a picture of encouragement. Hope. That's another aspect to it. Let's have a look at the context. Let's go back to from verse 1 to 5. I'll read this from the NIV. "We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of those who are weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbour for his good, to build him up. For even Christ did not please himself. But, as it is written, 'The insults of those who insult you have fallen on me.'" That's a quote from Psalm 69, verse 9. "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and encouragement of these scriptures, we might have hope. May the God who gives us endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." It's a great passage, isn't it? Great passage. Encouragement. Notice verse 4, the encouragement of the scriptures gives hope. "We know that through grace we're saved by Christ's atoning sacrifice, and we're saved, and as we're saved, we have eternal life. And be with Christ in God's kingdom." Notice verse 5, that it is God who gives us encouragement through the scriptures. Why? "That in the unity of the Spirit, we have one heart and one mouth to glorify God." That's the purpose, isn't it? That's our purpose. And encouraging one another. Who gets the glory? It's for God's glory. In the New Testament, we can be encouraged by the life of Jesus, then his death and resurrection. After that, we can be encouraged by God working through the early church. This is just the first chapter of the story of Christianity, but he's been working miracles through the Christian church ever since. We can be encouraged by Paul and his mission to the Gentiles. Despite prison and persecution, he spread the gospel message to the world, without which we wouldn't be here now. If you read the church history, you'll be encouraged by stories of faith and hope, despite persecution over the years. So, we should encourage each other weekly at church and during the week. We can turn to God for comfort and encouragement directly through his Spirit living in us. And finally, we can be encouraged by reading God's word in the scriptures. Like Russian dolls, these points fit together because they have a common source of encouragement. It's God. It's his love, his mercy, his grace to us that gives us encouragement. So let's enjoy fellowshipping together, whether at church or during the week. When we hear of people with health problems or people who are going through trials and difficulties or have lost loved ones, let's offer support and encouragement as we are able. I want to finish off by reading 1 Thessalonians 4. This summarises our ultimate destiny and therefore the ultimate encouragement of what we have to look forward to. We have a hope to endure for. This is a time when all our worries will be over and our bodies will be healed and renewed. The song we sung just now, it's like Christ is coming back. That ultimately, when we feel discouraged, just think of the ultimate encouragement. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. With a loud command and with a shout of the chief angel and with the blast of God's trumpet, the Lord will return from heaven. Then those who had faith in Christ before they died will be raised to life. Next, all of us who are still alive will be taken up into the clouds together with them to meet the Lord in the sky. From that time on, we will be with the Lord forever. Verse 18, encourage each other with these words. Thank you.